Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Monday, raining and wet in Los Angeles, not in the studio though, warm and comfortable live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, Gonzaga's going to win the tournament, Oklahoma State's my dark horse, Villanova first good team to lose, there you go, Selection Monday. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. I've not recovered from my move on Saturday, and I am not envious of you today. It's moving day, and traditionally, as it rains when I move, and I actually had beautiful weather. So
beautiful. Today
I'm sorry
it's
about
raining.
That. I passed that to you. It rains 3 times a year in L.A., and one of the days is usually when I move.
And it's pouring today,
yes.
And my dogs will bring in the mush, and it'll just be a... be just an absolute disaster today. So let me start with this. One of my favorite, and I watch from time to time, I'll go YouTube and watch commencement speeches. And you watch, you know, Oprah here and famous actors and CEOs, legends, whatever. One of my favorite lines, and I'm not sure it was his, maybe he borrowed it, but I've used this over and over in my life. Bon Jovi, John Bon Jovi. Gave a commencement speech. Great advice. Outline your life in pencil, not pen. Always be willing to erase. You don't know what you're going to be optioned. John Bon Jovi. Outline your life in pencil, not pen. Told my kids this regularly. Russell Wilson needs to heed this advice. According to reporters this morning, Chicago is making a big, big swing at Russell Wilson. We've told you that for a week. And Russell's very keenly interested in Chicago. He needs to grab his pencil and erase Chicago. And put Washington in there, and I'll explain. 6 good teams have their quarterback. New England's got Cam. Dallas has Dak. Indy's got Carson Wentz. The Saints have 2 guys, Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. Pittsburgh signed Big Ben. And the 49ers, say what you want, they've got Jimmy Garoppolo. Those are good teams. 2 other good teams do not, playoff teams, do not have a quarterback. Chicago and Washington. And Russell Wilson said, I like Chicago. Let's think about it. Washington has $38 million of cap space. Chicago's $19 million over the cap. But the brand, most of my childhood, Washington won a lot more football games than Chicago. Washington has a great defensive coach. A better defense than Chicago, look it up. Pro Football Focus said Washington had a 6th best offensive line, far superior to Chicago. Much easier division. Play the biggest brand in the world, the Dallas Cowboys, twice a year. With Russell, you'll win both. And a ton of cap space. It's much easier for Russell Wilson to beat big brand Dallas twice a year than it is to beat Aaron Rodgers and big brand Green Bay twice a year. Russell Wilson's career, he's .500 against the Packers in 6 games. You want to know what he is against Dallas, Philadelphia, and the New York Giants? If he went to Washington, 15-3. If you're beating Dallas twice a year and Jerry twice a year and Dak twice a year and you're beating the blue blood New York Giants twice a year, that is a way bigger brand than losing to Green Bay. Outline your life in pencil, not pen. You want to know what Washington is? 1 year ago, they were Tampa before Brady took it. What was Tampa? They'd been 7-9, veteran head coach, super talented defense, promising O-line. Tampa was 7-9. Wait, Washington was 7-9. Veteran head coach, great defensive talent, promising O-line. The difference is Washington had more success winning recently than Tampa. They are Tampa. And Tom Brady looked around the league. He could go anywhere, right? Like, anywhere. And Tom said, all right, I got the coach. I got the championship defense. I got some offensive pieces I like. And the offensive line needs a right tackle, but it's good. That is Washington. The difference is Washington just made the playoffs. It is time for Russell Wilson to pivot off Chicago and go to Washington. He would own the division. You're not going to own the division if Aaron Rodgers is in it. You're not going to own it. You can win it, but you're not going to own it. Philadelphia's got Jalen Hurts. Who knows? Giants have Daniel Jones. Who knows? Cowboys paying Dak $40 million. Who knows? I mean, they'll win, but who knows? Washington made the playoffs. Taylor Heinicke was quarterbacking in the end. Pencil, not pen. Erase. Insert Washington over Chicago. So Drew Brees, and this is not exactly a revelation of like, you know, Watergate status, but Drew Brees retired. It is interesting. Drew Brees is a great example that if you don't look like the prototype, and if your path is different than the prototype, some people can just never get past that. Drew Brees, number one all-time in passing yards. Now think about that. History of professional football in America. He's number one in passing yards. He's number one in completions. He's the only player ever with multiple 5,000-yard seasons. For our television audience, I'm putting up his records. He basically owns all of them or finishes second. And if Drew Brees was 6'4.5", he'd be Peyton Manning with better stats. He has the most games ever of 3 touchdown passes. He has the most games ever of 4 touchdown passes. He has the most games ever of 5 touchdown passes. It's the Steph Curry syndrome. But he doesn't quite look like we think a star should look, and his path was different. Purdue, Steph Curry, Davidson. Wait a minute. The best player in the league can't be from Davidson. The best quarterback in the league can't be from Purdue, and then he gets hurt, and then he wants to go to Miami, and he ends up with the Saints. And this is a big deal for me. He ends up with the Saints. They were the worst franchise in the league. Just think of what he dealt with the Saints. They were called the Aints. Historically, one playoff win ever. People wore bags on their heads. He gets there. And they become, last 15 years, an elite top 3-4 franchise. That's worth something. If Drew Brees was 6'4.5", you turn on sports radio in America, and I listen to people for hours argue Drew Brees out of top 12. Take his stats, make him go to a football power like a Texas, Ohio State, or Michigan. Make him number one or two in everything. Would we argue it? It wouldn't be worth a segment. And people, well, he's not this guy. He's not that guy. Folks, Joe Namath looked like a quarterback should look in the 70s. He was tall and handsome with a big arm. Joe Namath's the prototype. But Joe Namath has more losses than wins in his career and more interceptions than touchdowns. Joe Namath's number one trait, and I know Joe and like him, was being cool. Drew Brees' number one trait, I don't know, was being accurate. If your route's a little different, if you don't look like everybody thinks you're supposed to, 6 feet, out of Purdue, not a huge arm, people just can't wrap their brains around it. He is the most accurate thrower of the football I've ever seen. Period. In all the years I'm watching football, in his 10 to 12 year prime, he threw the ball more accurately than anybody has ever thrown the football. Wasn't as cool as Joe Namath, didn't have Favre's arm, didn't have the pedigree of Peyton Manning, but good luck to the New Orleans Saints finding his replacement. And 1 year from now, you want to know what the Saints are going to look like? Like New England looks this morning. Crossing your fingers and praying you can get a name quarterback past his prime. Be it Cam Newton, be it Taysom Hill, be it whoever it is. It's remarkable to me that you would waste a radio segment arguing Drew Brees is not a top 10 quarterback of all time. Look at his numbers. Look at the injury. Look what he inherited. Look what he turned around. He dealt with Katrina. He owns the record book, first or second in almost everything that matters. Drew Brees, way to go. You know, a lot of people, and this again, this is very hurtful. I get a lot of this, you don't like the Cleveland Browns and you don't like the and the Green Bay Packers. One of those may be true. But I thought the Green Bay did something really smart this weekend, and I can't believe the pushback the Packers got. That, and Gonzaga's going to win the tournament, Oklahoma State's my dark horse, and Villanova's the first good team to lose. All of it coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you in today. So the I saw yesterday Packers re-signed Aaron Jones, the running back, 4 years, $48 million. And the initial reaction is, oh, you can't pay a running back. Can't pay a running back. And whenever I hear sort of a, everybody is in one direction, my natural instinct is to turn into it. I'll give you a great example. During the pandemic, everybody's out of the cities. New York City, oh, get out of here. Chicago, oh, you got to get out of the big city. All those people that left downtown Chicago, it's one of the great cities in America, they're going to go to the suburbs and be bored out of their mind. And in 18 months, they're going to sell their boring suburb home and go back to the city and hang out on Michigan Avenue because that's where all the fun is in Chicago. And when you're 40 years old, you and your husband and your wife and the kids, and you want to have fun, you don't want to get in the car, drive to dinner, 55 minutes, or you can go to Applebee's in the burbs. You're going to move back to Chicago downtown. And New York City downtown, there's too much action. You go ahead and live out in Rye. There's too much accident in the city. And everybody's like, oh, get out. No, cities are no good. Cities are great. That's why people lived in them. Pandemic was a nightmare for some people living in the cities. You felt trapped. I get it. But when I hear you can't pay a running back, timeout. Aaron Jones, top three at his position in the league. Number two, Aaron Rodgers is 37. Got two prime years left. And I'm not sure he's not out of his prime. 2 to 3 years left of the very best Aaron Rodgers. Get him help. Three, in all of Aaron Jones' biggest games, they win. His 13 biggest games this year, they went 13-0. The other games, they went 0-3. By the way, if he just rushes for 42 yards since he's been a Packer, they're 23-0. So in any business, when I hear you can't, my takeaway is, yeah, you can. Don't tell me running back doesn't matter. Now, there's some concerns. Well, it's a passing league. All right. Let's dig a little deeper. Of the six teams in the NFL that got the most rushing yards from the running backs, five of six went to the playoffs. One of those, Green Bay. Well, what about the wear and tear? Wear and tear is a big problem. Certainly is. When Zeke signed with Dallas, he had in just 3 years, 870 NFL carries. Aaron Jones in 4 years has more than 200 carries fewer than that because they don't rely on him because they have Aaron Rodgers. So wear and tear doesn't worry me. Got banged up at the end of the year. It's a running back. They occasionally do. Even Adrian Peterson's been hurt. Zeke's gotten banged up. Great guy. Great locker room. Gives Aaron Rodgers a star running back. The wear and tear. Look at the numbers. Running game still matter. By the way, down the stretch, Tampa started running the football more. Gave Brady a break. Then he had play action. The offense clicks. Less turbulence. I don't buy you can't. Now, I don't think you should pay most running backs $48 million. But even if you look at the number, he got paid. He didn't get overpaid. 4 years, $48 million for a top three player at their position. If you paid Quentin Nelson a guard that, would anybody lose any sleep? He's not touching the ball 25 times a game. No problem. Smart move. Way to go, Packers. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
We're so moody about running backs. I mean, when Zeke was holding out, all I could hear was, like, you absolutely must pay Zeke. You have to pay Zeke before Dak. Zeke is more important than Dak. Dak's not going to make all that money. Why couldn't you pay Aaron Jones? They're so moody about it. It's like year to year.
Well, I mean, isn't the game really? Because to win a Super Bowl, you always need, like, it feels like about seven great players. So Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones. Centers all pro. Za'Darius Smith's pretty good. I mean, they got like four. Green Bay can't give them up because Shaq Barrett, according to a report 5 minutes ago, he's now signing back with Tampa. So Tampa's got like 9 to 10 great players. So, well, I mean, it's like you can't let one of your great players go.
And at that position, to your point where you touch the ball so much, I mean, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have as many wide receivers as you could ever ask for. They don't have a running game.
And that's why they got smoked by Cleveland. Cleveland did have a running game.
But is Aaron Rodgers off the hook now?
No.
No?
No, they're still not as good as Tampa.
What? Okay, so they need to make another aggressive move this offseason.
I'll tell you a move they could make. Juju Smith-Schuster's on the block. Slot receiver. So, I mean, to me, if it's an offensive-leaning league, I could find room for top two slot receiver in the league, top three.
Uncle Colin made a rule, I think, last week that...
If Aaron loses to Brady, no criticizing him, because
right.
Tampa re-signs everybody and Green Bay re-signs nobody. But Aaron Jones is a really good start for Green Bay.
I agree. So with Drew Brees retiring, the Saints are in need of a new starting quarterback. They raised some eyebrows when they announced a 4-year, $140 million extension with Taysom Hill. I would caution you to actually read the details of that, because those numbers sound extravagant, and they are, but there's a lot of voidable years in there.
Yeah, most of them.
Yes, three, I think.
It's a fake contract.
It's a fake contract, which happens a lot in the NFL. People get caught up in the numbers, but they did that to restructure for cap space. All 4 years avoidable. $7.7 million in cap space has been cleared.
Yeah.
But the team is also working on a deal to bring back Jameis Winston, who is a free agent right now.
So we'll have a quarterback competition for the Saints. That's what we'll have, a real one.
I don't love quarterback competitions in general, because I think if you have more than one quarterback, you have no quarterback. But in this situation, I think that this is the only option they have. We all assumed Drew Brees was retiring, which he did yesterday. Taysom Hill, I don't believe, is a starting quarterback, but he did go 3-1 last year. We know Jameis Winston is a starting quarterback, but he makes too many mistakes. So has a year in this system, tightened it up. He did have surgery on his eyes, so maybe that was an issue.
If I'm Sean Payton, maybe he thinks this way. Okay, I'm going to restructure Jameis Winston. He's got a better arm than Drew did.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to restructure Taysom Hill. He's a better athlete than Drew was. So between the two, I'm going to do 48 snaps for one guy, 12 for the other. And the combo deal is I can potentially have a better arm and a better athlete than Brees. And you kind of do it for a year. Don't be surprised, by the way, Joy, if they don't draft another quarterback.
Right.
But I mean, I can see where Sean Payton is saying, okay, I'm going to lose a lot, but I need at least one guy with a big arm and one guy's an athlete, and I am going to creatively make that a 9 to a 10 win team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're going to lose that much. I mean, I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender the way that I felt they were last year, because it's just so much inconsistency. But they've used Taysom in very interesting ways.
Oh, no, he's been, when he's not the guy.
Yeah.
Very effective.
I think it can work for this year, and then you figure out what your long-term solution is next year, or see how Jameis is as a starting quarterback, if that's the route that they decide to take, and maybe he is the future for the next few years.
Yeah.
So another team that's doing a lot of restructuring is the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes has adjusted his contract for the good of the team. The Chiefs converted his $21.7 million roster bonus into a signing bonus, so that created $17.4 million in cap space this season. They are now projected to have $12.2 million in cap space, which is the 20th most in the league. It's also been reported that Travis Kelce and Chris Jones's deals will be restructured as well, so they could start the league year with around $20 million in cap space.
Well, this was always my argument. If you were going to sign Dak to a contract, the advantage is you can't manipulate the franchise tag. You can manipulate any contract. Brady's getting more money. He just restructured it so the Bucks have more money now.
Exactly.
And so Jerry Jones probably looks at Dak and thinks, I'll just keep restructuring it. And what you do is you keep giving some guaranteed money and push some back. And eventually, you know, I mean, essentially in the NFL, the initial contract is never the real money.
No, it's never ever. Real money. The numbers to pay attention to are the guaranteed dollars. That's the money that you're actually right. getting. Everything else is going to eventually be restructured or right. moved around. And they'll get the money they're supposed to get, but it's not actually it's not a hard contract.
Right.
That's why everyone's flipping out about Deshaun Watson's contract. It's like, I mean, we just did two stories on two people restructuring four people restructuring their contracts
yeah.
on two different teams. Like, it happens all the time, and it's going to continue to happen because that's how you manipulate the cap, and players that know they have some security are able to do that. But these are not like, they're not blood oaths. Like, right. they can be moved around.
Right.
So the Lakers will be without Anthony Davis for at least another 2 weeks. Yeah. The team announced Friday he's making progress in his recovery, but he's been cleared to ramp up his activity during rehab. Frank Vogel said they're going to be very cautious bringing him back, so he remains healthy for the playoffs, which is obviously the main concern, and he'll be reevaluated again in late March. He also said he is working on a new rotation to help reduce LeBron James's minutes as well. They are 8-7 without AD this season.
Which is, if he is a top three player in the league, is fairly impressive. 8-7 in the 15 games in the West without Anthony Davis. This goes back to the thing we talk about. I think he's great. Value? There's value there. But when people get into the most valuable player, what are the Lakers in 15 games without LeBron? Probably 3-12. They're 8-7 without Anthony Davis. Don't confuse unbelievable talent, icing on a great cake, and valuable. So is my Westbrook. He's great. Valuable doesn't make anybody better. Be careful about that word.
LeBron James is the most valuable player on that team.
For 10 years.
I believe in the league right now. Yeah. But again, this is still very concerning to me. I want to see if the Lakers make another move because you want Anthony Davis healthy for the playoffs. He needs time to get back in basketball shape.
I know.
It's very concerning to me that he has been out for as long as he has. Now, like, for the regular season, it's fine. We're not that concerned about a home court yeah. advantage this year and everything else, but he's got to be healthy through the playoffs, so they're not going to win another championship.
By the way, I just saw this, Joy. Multiple sources of Schefter. Shaq Barrett, back to the Bucks, 4 years, 72 large. Bunch of it guaranteed, half of it guaranteed. So Shaq Barrett's back, Brady's back, Chris Godwin's back. Who else did I miss?
They still have Gronk, Antonio Brown.
Oh, Levante David.
Levante David, yeah.
So the guys you want back, they figure out a way to make it work.
And they still have Gronk, Antonio Brown, I think Ndamukong Suh.
I could move off.
And
if you look at where they draft, I could move off Ndamukong Suh. There's a couple good interior linemen, late first, early second. They can get one of those. So
Tom Brady's a happy camper right now.
Yeah, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Calling right, calling wrong, top of next hour. This is a really fun time in the NFL. Again, my bracket predictions. Gonzaga wins it. Oklahoma State has the best player. They're my dark horse. Villanova, first good team out. My alma mater, Eastern, plays Kansas. Don't overlook Eastern. Kevin Clark, NFL writer, The Ringer, is now joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. By the way, Kevin, where did you go to school? Did your team get into the tournament? Where'd you go to school?
I went to University of Miami. We're good every 5 years, and that's good enough for us. I'm just worried about the football team down there, Colin.
Yeah, let's just worry about that because they struggle enough to get their act together. Okay, so I said this morning, outline your life in pencil, not pen. I see Russell Wilson's in on Chicago, and I'm like, actually, go further east to Washington. I think they have a better defense, veteran coach, and I would argue it's a bigger brand if you're beating Dallas and Dak twice a year. And you're not going to beat Aaron Rodgers as much as I love Russell Wilson twice a year. Your thoughts on this destination list for Russell Wilson and what your sources are telling you?
So first of all, I think everybody needs to take a huge step back and in Seattle and take a deep breath and bring Russell Wilson back to the Seahawks for another year, because this can be avoided. They cannot get equal value. The Bears, if they go there, that's the package. Why would the Seahawks want that? They're picking 20th. The football team on the surface is a good option. I think that the front seven there is nasty. Terry McLaurin is one of the best young receivers in football. I think that they've got a lot of young stars to the point, Colin, that you can make the case that they can afford to take any quarterback for big money because they've got a lot of guys on cheap deals, almost the opposite of what you have when you have a rookie quarterback. And so, yeah, I think it makes sense. I just don't know why Seattle would want to do it. Why would they want the 19th pick in the draft? I think if you want to work miracles and you want to own a town, win in Washington, because win with Dan Snyder. And I think that one of the things, Colin, that Seattle needs to look at is maybe Washington is a better fit. And if you're a better fit than Dan Snyder's team, you need to do some soul searching, okay? And so I think if I'm Seattle, I try to bring it all back. I try to get Russell Wilson back into the fold. I know he does certain things that they're over or whatever, but every great team goes through this, Colin. One of the things about the Patriots dynasty over two decades is every summer you'd hear, oh, this guy might be a little mad at this guy. And then a month later, everybody was good. That's how great teams navigate the offseason. That's how they do everything. Seattle can get this done. I don't think they have to move him, but I do agree. Washington would be a very interesting candidate.
So, you know, I said with Drew Brees, if he was 6'4.5", he'd gone to, you know, a traditional power like Oklahoma, and then you just looked at his numbers, you'd be like, yeah, it's Peyton Manning. But he went a different route, a lot of turbulence, had an injury, went to the Saints. He's a little small, didn't have a huge arm. And, you know, much better quarterback, in my opinion, than a Joe Namath, who has more losses than wins. But Drew doesn't look like the prototypical, doesn't throw like the prototypical. His path, all sorts of twists and turns. I do see him as a top 12 quarterback of all time. I think he's the most accurate thrower of the football in his prime I've ever seen. Your thoughts on him?
Without a doubt. When he entered the league, there was one 5,000-yard season ever. Dan Marino, one of the greats. Drew Brees had 5 on his own, okay? He rewrote the record books. And one of the things about Brees, Colin, is that he is, as all the greats do, he took advantage of his era. What happened in this era? Well, it was easier to pass the football. It was easier to go over the middle of the field. Efficiency was at an all-time high. He's like a guy that learned to shoot the three-pointer in the last 5 years in the NBA and started scoring 35 points a game. That's how football worked. Drew Brees not only changed with the era, he helped define the era. I think he's the best free agency signing ever. Maybe Tom Brady, when he plays 20 more years, that can be a different discussion. More than Reggie White, I think, was also in that conversation. And Charles Woodson, I guess, on the defensive side. But he's the best free agent signing ever. He's one of the best second-round picks of all time. I think he's amazing. I think that he changed how people view offense in the NFL. I don't know how you have a better legacy than Drew Brees. Maybe he could have won a few more Super Bowls. But I just think that, I mean, it's a heck of a career. And anybody who's arguing about Drew Brees' greatness, I'm sorry to say, they just don't know football.
Yeah, thank you. We said this morning. It's interesting. The path for Tom Brady, I mean, at some point, there is luck in life. Yeah. So Brees retires. Carson Wentz is in the other conference. Goff downgrades, at least offensive minds. And I like Aaron Rodgers, but I saw Tom's roster play his twice last year. And frankly, Tampa's got much better players. And it's interesting. I thought this morning, the real block for Brady could now be Matt Stafford, who's never won a playoff game, first year in a new system. And you go over to the AFC, and it's Mahomes, and it's Josh Allen, it's Lamar Jackson, it's Justin Herbert, it's Joe Burrow. And now you're going to have Trevor Lawrence is going there, and Justin Fields, and it looks like Zach Wilson. And I'm thinking to myself, at some point, Brady's lucky. A year removed, who is the block? I mean, Russell Wilson, Seattle, but he's unhappy. I mean, doesn't it feel like the path gets easier for Brady?
100%. And, you know, Shaq Barrett coming back, that defense is so fast. They get to bring back all of their coordinators. And what did we've been talking about this for months, Colin. Brady's Bucks were only going to get better because they didn't have an offseason last year. They didn't have a full training camp. No one values training camp and OTAs and throwing sessions in May quite like Tom Brady. And if everything gets back to normal in June, well, guess what? Brady gets that now. And by the way, he just won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's going to be unbelievable to see the growth there. I think Los Angeles is a really sneaky candidate to be an elite team next year.
Yeah.
I think that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, especially with Aaron Jones coming back, is interesting. And I also would watch San Francisco. Remember, we both like Jimmy Garoppolo. they had a nightmare of a start of the season, the first month of the season. I still like Kyle Shanahan as a coach. So I think that those are the blocks. But if I'm betting right now, I'm betting they run it back, Colin.
Finally, you know, there is a sense in the NFL, and I've talked to GMs I trust, and they're like, you know, don't go to big contracts on running backs. Your thought on Aaron Jones, who did get hurt at the end of last year, was not great in the biggest game of the year. Your thought on his new contract with Green Bay?
It's a little more than I would spend, but at some point when Matt LaFleur or Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan tell you that their offense runs through the running game, we have to believe them. They run a heck of a better offense than I would, Colin. And I think that, you know, the Packers are over the cap. They don't have a ton of money to spend. They're already going to lose Corey Linsley. I would, if I were them, try to get under the cap, because I do think there's the opportunity for kind of super teams here, because I think that the B-level, C-level free agents, once they realize there's not a lot of money in this free agency, will start taking less to go play with Aaron Rodgers, go take less to go play with the Tom Brady, that sort of thing. But I think it's a fine contract. I mean, I can't sit here and say we shouldn't ever pay a running back, because Aaron Jones has showed that he's a huge, huge asset to this offense. You know, I guess you questioned the A.J. Dillon pick last year. And I think that maybe you can, you know, group that with Jordan Love as a draft pick that was maybe more pie in the sky based when you look at the reality of that roster. But I'm okay with it as much as I can be okay with the running back contract. I mean, Matt LaFleur knows the running game. He wants the running game. I'm going to let him have it.
Yep. Kevin Clark, the Ringer, NFL writer, formerly of the Wall Street Journal. Good stuff, bud. Appreciate you dropping by on a Monday.
Anytime, Colin.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about in the tournament that's funny, think about this. Rick Pitino got Iona into the tournament, and Louisville's not in, and Duke is not in, and Kentucky's not in. And Rick Pitino gets in again, this time with Iona. There are just some coaches that are really good. The fact that when's the last time Louisville, Kentucky, and Duke all didn't get in? And Rick Pitino, who was exiled to Greece, and then goes back to Iona, which is somewhere in New York, gets into the tournament. I mean, listen, he comes with a lot of baggage, but the coaching basketball thing, Rick Pitino's in the tournament again. Louisville's not. Used to coach them. Kentucky is not. Duke is not. You know, again, all I know, Duke can coach. A lot of baggage. He's Samsonite in terms of baggage. He's got all sorts of it. He's an airport baggage carousel. It just never stops. But the coaching thing, that dude can coach. Coming up, be very wary of free agency. Also, top of next hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. Jonathan Vilma stops by, and a former Drew Brees teammate, one of my favorites, stops by as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned coffee, premium coffee, serving it to people who love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. H-E-R-D at checkout, 20% off your first coffee club order. When I was a kid, I liked Batman, Adam West. But then when they made the movies, I liked the Avengers way more than Batman. And the reason I do is because I get Robert Downey Jr. in all the Avengers, where Batman was like Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney. I like the continuity of like one superhero. One of the reasons I like marriage more than dating. I want to come home every night to somebody different, right? Not that I could. But the point being is I like continuity. I could never do this one and done stuff in college basketball. A new group of five guys every year? I want to be Gonzaga. I want some of my guys to come back. Like if I get one superstar, like they have one superstar, it's going to be a one and done guy. That's fine. But Kentucky, this one and done stuff, it's a circus. They don't even make the tournament this year. I think it's wearing out Calipari. The recruiting's gone down at Kentucky because he's exhausted. It's the only basketball program with no senior night. Nobody lasts like a third year there. And I like continuity. The idea that in college football, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame was doing this for a few years. Like he had a different quarterback every year. No. now I'll take a one-and-done guy if he's a rim protector. Like an international center, I'll take that. Because there's not many of those on the planet. But I want my same point guard for 2 or 3 years. The guy running my offense. I don't want to every year have a new point guard. I'm not even that's not appealing to me at all. So I kind of like that Villanova's and Gonzaga's, these programs that are built on, you know, 3 and 4 star guys who stay a couple years are now absolutely, Gonzaga today is a better program last 5 years than Kentucky, who gets all these 5 star guys. They basically hang out at your airport for 5 minutes, jump on a new flight off to the NBA. I mean, it's just, I think it, frankly, Mark Few could coach at Gonzaga for 25 more years. It's not exhausting. It's a pleasure. He's got, I know Mark well. He's got a great system. He's happy every day. Calipari is exhausted at Kentucky. His recruiting's going down. It's too much. It's like people dating every night. Different restaurant, different guy or gal. That's just too much.
It does hurt the, you know, consistency of your life when you're going through different things like that. Yeah. But I think that's why college football football is obviously more popular, but it has the ability to let us get to know the players more. So you see Trevor Lawrence for 3 years. You get to know him. You get to know these stars.
You see them get better and better and better and better. And,
you know their stories. You know their personalities. You get a connection to them when they move into the NFL. Now, I mean, basketball is just structured differently. If you're a star and you can go to
the
NBA.
I'm not blaming the kids.
Yeah, no, it's not. It is what it is. But, yeah, there's something to getting to know the players.
I mean, look at what we have in college basketball this year. It's a lot of places that don't get 5-star kids. Illinois, Gonzaga, Baylor. They get good players, but they're the overwhelming favorites. Most people think it's Gonzaga or the field or Gonzaga and Baylor in the field.
Well, the tournament is always fun because you do get to introduce to new players like that you wouldn't normally watch.
Right.
But not having Kentucky and Louisville and Duke
hurts in
there hurts. But it shows you this one and done is great for a consistent year when you have everything the same. But when you have a lot of change and you got to implement new systems and you're missing practices and you're missing games, it's nice to have someone who's already been in your system for a few years.
By the way, this is interesting. Peter King's column this morning. Check out the biggest contracts in free agency over the past 3 years, all for $70 million or more. What's become of each? Trey Flowers, 9 sacks in 2 years for Detroit. Nick Foles, enough said. C.J. Mosley, good player, can't stay healthy. Kirk Cousins, meh. Byron Jones had a horrible year for Miami, although he's really talented. Trumaine Johnson, disaster with the Jets. Robert Quinn, 2 sacks, 15 games. He was a bust last year. So outside of legendary quarterbacks, Peyton Manning to Denver and Brady to Tampa, who are already Hall of Famers, already have all their money, NFL players in their prime don't hit free agency. And if they do, be cynical.
Didn't Dave Wansat talk about that last week?
Be cynical.
He's like, the team that had them knows more than you're going to know when you're making these big free agent signings.
Kenny Galladay is the most talented guy in the market. Wide receiver, Detroit. But why are they letting him go? Now, he's coming off an injury. But why are they letting him go? Like, why is he available? It's like, I can dabble. It's like almost buying a home. I'm cynical every time I read any real estate brochure. Charming means it's a dump and needs work. That's all charming means. When you see a home, it's charming. It's a dump. It needs work. It's a fixer-upper is a total dump. I mean, elegant means it's really expensive. Upscale, granite countertops, crown molding. I mean, you can read through all the lines, but I still buy homes. But I'm cynical. Every time I read something, I'm like, cynical, 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 cynical. Let me go see the house. And I'm always looking for value. It's the same with free agents. I'm cynical on all of them. But there are occasional, the Packers went and got Za'Darius Smith. Very good linebacker, can put pressure on the quarterback. Green Bay did a really good job of that. They got Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius is better. Preston's good too. But what do? They waited and they waited and they waited and they bought a house that was probably worth slightly more than they paid for it. And it fit really nice. They fit really nice into that neighborhood. It's all nice. I like buying homes when I can, you know, if I sell homes and I've done it enough in my life, but I'm cynical every time. Same with free agency. I always kind of like, why is Kenny Galladay available? Well, he's too good for Detroit with Jared Goff not to keep, isn't he?
It's a gamble either way. You're going to gamble in the draft. You're going to gamble in free agency. But the difference with the draft is you're not going to have to pay the free agent prices for players when you're gambling.
Earl Thomas didn't work as a free agent. Le'Veon Bell didn't work. Here's the other thing I always worry about. If I bring a free agent in at a big price tag, what am I telling my players in my locker room? So I have a locker room full of guys, and I make a free agent the highest paid player. What I'm telling my guys is, I like you, I love him. So to me, the way that, you know, like the Colts, and like quarterback I get. Like Minnesota needed a quarterback, so they pay for Kirk Cousins. Like, I get it, okay? The Niners needed somebody, Jimmy Garoppolo. I get it. Quarterback, take that out. Colts need somebody. Phillip Rivers retired. Carson Wentz, Philly's still paying a lot of that. But I don't like, I don't love the idea. It'd be just like this company. If they brought some, we're FS1, they brought somebody in and paid them significantly more than all the current employees. Whether they're good or not, what's the messaging to current employees? So, by the way, Fox, if you're considering that, bad move. I would not do that. It'd be just not work at all. All right. Jonathan Vilma, interesting listen. He's going to be joining us. By the way, he won a Super Bowl with the Saints. Also, DeMario Davis, great guy, be joining us too. Former Drew Brees teammate. Drew has officially retired. He goes off to NBC to do a college football, NFL, Olympics. I read this morning a bunch of stuff. All right. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. Hour two next.